Now we will begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 38 through 41. Listen to a park ranger talk to a group of campers.
I know you're anxious to get your permits and get started, but there are just a few things I'd like to mention that might help you avoid trouble during your stay. First of all, make sure you carry adequate water. You'll need it if you're hiking, especially in this heat. A good rule of thumb is to bring 1 gallon per person per day this time of year. Don't try to rely on the park's natural springs to supply all your water needs. And please, do not use soap in the springs. It's your responsibility to protect the park's natural features. For those of you staying beyond the weekend, make sure that you set up camp well away from dry creek beds. We may get some heavy rainfall, and those creek beds could quickly become filled with water, and you and all your equipment might end up washed downstream. When you pick up your permits, you'll also get a Park Service's booklet. It'll tell you everything you need to know about the hiking trails. They vary in length, of course, but most of them are under 5 miles, relatively easy day hikes. Remember, if you're hiking solo, make sure you let someone know you're going and when they can expect you back. And for your own safety, we recommend that you not climb rock faces. A lot of the rock throughout the park is very unstable. One final word. Watch out for poisonous snakes. Rattlesnake activity is at its peak this time of year, especially at night. For your own good, we recommend wearing protective clothing. And carry a flashlight after dark.
Number 38. What is the main purpose of the talk? Number 39. What does the speaker tell hikers about drinking water? Number 40. What information does the Park Service's booklet contain? Number 41. What does the speaker say about rattlesnakes? Questions 42 through 45. Listen to part of a history lecture.
Last week we talked about Anne Bradstreet and the role of women in the Puritan colonies. Today, I want to talk about some other women who've contributed to American history, some famous and some not so famous. The first woman I'd like to talk about is Molly Pitcher. Those of you who are familiar with the name may know her as a hero of the American Revolution. But in fact, there never was a woman named Molly Pitcher. Her real name was actually Mary Ludwig Hayes. She got the nickname Molly Pitcher for her acts of bravery during the Revolutionary War. As the story goes, when Mary's, or Molly's, husband, John Hayes, enlisted in the artillery, Mary followed, like many other wives did. She helped out doing washing and cooking for the soldiers. She was known to be a pretty unusual woman. She smoked a pipe and chewed tobacco. Anyway, in the summer of 1778, at the Battle of Monmouth, it was a blistering hot day, maybe over 100 degrees, and 50 soldiers died of thirst during the battle. Molly wasn't content to stay back at camp. Instead, she ran through gunshots and cannon fire, carrying water in pitchers from a small stream out to the thirsty American soldiers. The relief that she brought with her pitchers of water gave her the legendary nickname Molly Pitcher. The story also says that she continued to load and fire her husband's cannon after he was wounded. They say she was so well-liked by the other soldiers that they called her Sergeant Molly. In fact, legend has it that George Washington himself gave her the special military title.
Number 42. This talk is part of a series on what subject? Number 43. Why was Mary at the Battle of Monmouth? Number 44. Why was Mary considered an unusual woman? Number 45. How did Mary Hayes earn her nickname? Questions 46 through 50. Listen to part of a lecture on child psychology.
Today we're going to talk about shyness and discuss recent research on ways to help children learn to interact socially. Many people consider themselves shy. In fact, 40% of the people who took part in our survey said they were shy. That's 2 out of every 5 people. And there are studies to indicate that the tendency toward shyness may be inherited. But just because certain children are timid doesn't mean they are doomed to be shy forever. There are things parents, teachers, and the children themselves can do to overcome this tendency, and even to prevent it. One researcher found that if parents gently push their shy children to try new things, they can help these children become less afraid and less inhibited. Another way to help shy children is to train them in social skills. For example, there are special training groups where children are taught things like looking at other children while talking to them, talking about other people's interests, and even smiling. These groups have been very successful at giving shy children a place to feel safe and accepted, and at building up their self-esteem.
Number 46. What is the lecture mostly about? Number 47. What does the speaker say about shyness? Number 48. According to the speaker, which people are most likely to be shy? Number 49. According to the speaker, what should parents of shy children do? Number 50. What might the group sessions help shy children do? This is the end of Section 1 of Practice Test B. Turn off your cassette player and begin work on Section 2.